Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. Tonight we're going to talk about the value of friends. I once heard a speaker, and you may know him, his name is Gene Roddenberry, and he was speaking at the college campus where I attended, and he was the creator of Star Trek. He was a very famous man. He created a very famous series of TV shows that have continued to play throughout the years, and yet he said that if a man makes it through the end of his life and has one good friend, he's done very well. That he just felt that it was so hard to make friends in this world, that if you even had one friend, that would be astounding. And I thought about this man, and back in college when we had so many people around us and so many friends, and I just thought, how can this be? How can it be that you could only make even one friend out of your whole lifetime, especially for a man who is extremely famous and who was very popular and very talented. And yet, the more I've gone through the years, I've seen that there is trouble in friendships. It is very difficult to keep and maintain friendships. Friendships are elusive. They're difficult to maintain, and they're risky, very risky. And yet, tonight I want to encourage you to go ahead and take the risk and make some friendships that will last forever. Because God will honor those kind of friendships. There is an inherent value in making friends with others that can't be matched by any other thing in life. We are relational beings at the core. God has created us to fellowship with Him and to fellowship with one another. He's called us to love Him and love one another. These are the first and second greatest commandments, as Jesus said. And so, at the heart of everything we do is relationship and is this core fellowship that we want true intimacy with other people. Now, you may have looked for intimacy in various places and you may have gotten burned. You may have been betrayed. Well, we're going to look tonight at some people who were betrayed in the Bible as well. Some very good people who should have been the best of friends. And yet, the difficulty of maintaining friendships caused betrayal to occur. But more importantly tonight, I want to talk about the value of friendships so that you will be encouraged that it's worth it to go ahead and take the risk one more time. I've put some message notes on your screen, and I'd just like you to look right now at those. There are two passages that I'd like you to read about being friends with God and being friends with each other. And I'm going to play a little bit on the piano and pray for a minute, and I'd just like you to pray as well, right where you are. And just sit there and just say, Lord, what do you have to speak to me today about friendship? And I also have a special guest, and I'll introduce him after we pray and after we spend a little time in worship of the Lord, and then we'll jump into the topic of the value of friends. Now, in a way, I feel like I don't even need to convince you that there's value in friendships. Many of you earnestly yearn for and seek and desire friendships, and that's the very frustration that you find, that where are the true friends? Where are the friends that will stand by you through thick and thin? You've been hurt. You've been burned. You've been betrayed. There's definite risk to friends. There's risk to becoming friends with someone else. Look at Jesus, who should be the master friend maker. If anyone could make friends, if anyone should be popular, if anyone should be well-liked, it would be Jesus, who was healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water. He, of anyone, should be able to make friends. And yet, he says here in John 13:21, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." He even had an inner circle of 12 friends, 12 people that he called to be his disciples, that he called and spent 3 years of his life with, day in and day out. And yet one of those people turned on him and betrayed him, and it actually cost him his life. It actually sent him to his death. And yet Jesus knew this ahead of time, and he still befriended the man, Judas. The reason I bring that up is that God even has plans, even when our friends betray us. What our friends may mean for evil, God can take and use for good. This happened to Joseph and his brothers, and he said the very same thing. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. And Jesus, through his death, paid for all of our sins and now sits at the right hand of God. All of that had to occur according to scriptures. God was very much in control. So I want to say that even when your friends have betrayed you, I want you to know that God can be in control of that situation. He can bring healing to that. He can bring restoration to that. You may not see it here on this earth, but you may have understanding after this earth is done, after you live your life, and you will be able to see the purposes for which God has allowed that to happen in your life. And I hope that just even knowing that happened to Jesus would be enough for you to be willing to take the risk on finding a true friendship. Now tonight, I'm really glad to have a friend that I would call a true friend. And we've just met since the beginning of this year, and we actually met on the internet, and people wonder, how can you actually have a friend on the internet? How can you meet someone and then correspond and dialogue with them? And is that really a friendship? Is there really a bond there? And well, with John Evans, there is, and there was. And the internet, as you know, and many of you who are watching this know that there's really a just the meeting point is the internet, but it's actually the friendship that builds beyond that. And there's a real life friendship, there's a genuine friendship that can go on outside of that, that really just goes beyond anything that people can understand if they've never been on the internet. You don't need to be convinced of that, but this is the first time I've met John in person. You can say hi, John, and maybe they can tell where you're from.
Yep, my name's John Evans. I'm from Great Britain, which is where I pastor a small church at the moment.
Yeah, and we just met on the internet and started talking about pastoral things and just really had a mutual time of hitting it off. And they're visiting in the States. His wife Jennifer is here, and she'll come up in a little while and pray with us at the end. But they're visiting in the States and came down to spend a few days here with us, and we're just glad. And so he's going to add a little bit as well on this topic of friendship and how friendship works, and also how it's worth the risk to go ahead and jump into friendships. Let me start as far as a first value of friendship. One of the things that really is great about friendship is that friends can help us along the way throughout life. You know, you may think that we need friends for what they can do for us or what we can do for them, or for just a variety of reasons you may want to enter into a friendship, maybe for a business deal or something like that. But there is just an inherent value in friendship and walking through life together with other people that you can call your friends. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, there's a verse that says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Friends can help each other out. We all go through times where we're going to be in the pit. We all go through struggles in our life where we just need someone else around. And as we've invested in friendships over the years and over months and just taking the time to get to know someone, you'll find that those friends can later be of value to you and helpful to you, and you can help them, and we can walk through life together. And there doesn't need to be even some super spiritual reason for the friendship, but just simply the value of being genuine friends. There's also an essence of friendship where we can actually carry one another's burdens. When things get too heavy for us, someone else can help us carry a burden. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." The law of Christ is to love God and to love your neighbor. And as I mentioned earlier, that's sort of at the core of friendship. We have friendship with God, and we have friendship with our neighbors. And this is how we fulfill that law, is by carrying one another's burdens, by helping one another out. There's another value of friendship, and this is found in James 5:16. And our friends can actually help us receive forgiveness and healing. In James it says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Even as we confess our sins to one another, as we pray for one another, we can be restored, we can be forgiven, we can be healed in areas of our life. And it's a great joy to be able to do all of these things. There are two issues that I really want John to touch on, because some of his great strengths in his ministry from the time that I've gotten to know him are his ability to make friends with non-believers, with people who don't know anything about the love of God. And there are some people who make friends for the sole purpose of evangelism. And John may be able to touch on that a bit, at how that doesn't really ring true. But John, would you just share a little bit about making friends with non-believers and how that can be important too?
Well, that's right. Like I said, I'm the pastor of a small church in Great Britain. The church that I'm working with is on what we call a council estate in Britain, which is housing provided by local government. And I guess the challenge for me is that many of the people who live in the area where I'm working are not actually from the same kind of environment or background from me. So in some ways, to make friends purely for the purpose of being an evangelist or a pastor would be a bit dishonest, really. And the challenge is to make friends with people for the sake of friendship, for genuine reasons. It's quite stunning verses that Jesus speaks, that Matthew records in chapter 5. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Quite strong images that Jesus uses about the influence that you can have on people, the impact that you can have on people. I think one of the things that I found quite amazing when I've made friendships with people who are not yet believers in Jesus, who don't trust in God, is that I expect that they are looking for me to be perfect, because I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, you know, I'm not going to make mistakes, am I, surely? But I do, because I'm human, and I will make mistakes, and most people realize that, and don't expect you to be perfect. But what they're looking for you to have integrity, and for you to be real. And what they look for is the reality of your failures and your flaws, and to see if difference occurs. You claim to know God, you claim that God is powerful, you claim that God can change you. Well, will He change you? And as you be real and be open and have integrity in the friendship, people will see, and that will have an influence. And so your salt will have a potency and an effect on people, and you being light will actually influence people. And that is hard when you've been hurt by others and when you've had bad experiences. But when you do it and God blesses it, it is the most powerful thing in the world. And to actually see a genuine friend becoming a Christian is, I don't think there is anything that compares with that. Nothing that's so powerful as seeing somebody truly commit their lives to Christ, because He's used the influence you've had on them. So I guess I would encourage you to look at those words that Jesus speaks. He doesn't say you're to be the salt of the earth, that you've got to try to do it. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light. So just be salty. Just shine, and that will have the influence.
You had shared something about something your mother said. Do you feel comfortable sharing that now that I put you on the spot? But I thought this was good.
Well, go on, then. Well, I became a Christian when I was 22, and my mum at that point wasn't a Christian. And we used to have very big arguments, and we kept it all in the realm of theory and what was sin about and who was Jesus. And obviously my mum knows me better than anybody else, so she was going to see right through anything that was untrue. And I feared that I was failing. I feared I was giving a bad witness and I didn't get it right, and I would go back and pray and repent and say, God, I've failed again and I'm not getting it right and she's never going to believe and, get me out of the way. But she watched me, and of course she knew my faults and she knew my failings, and she saw God change me. And of course, when I stopped trying to convert my mum, and I let God, well, I let God, but God did do his work, and that was pretty stunning.
Yeah, just the fact that your mom just didn't want you to be perfect, but she wanted to see if this really made a difference in your life, if your faith really mattered and really changed your life, and it did. And that's what I think our non-Christian or non-believing friends will see in us, is that as they see us walking through life, that they'll see that this makes a difference in our life. It may not make us richer, it may not make us more popular, but they may see that there are changes going on in us. And I do encourage you, too, to be that salt. You know, Jesus had many friends, and he was called a friend of sinners and tax collectors. He also had friends that were outside the disciples that I believe he just had genuine friendships with. Lazarus was one of those. If you'll remember when John, where Lazarus had died, it's in John 11, verse 34. Jesus comes to that home, and he had been in their home many times before, just sharing a meal or talking with Lazarus and his sisters. And it says that they said, come and see, Lord, where we've laid him. And when Jesus saw where they laid him, it says that Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. Now, Lazarus wasn't particularly performing any miracles that we know of. We don't really have any record of him doing particularly anything outstanding, except that Jesus just fellowshipped with him, shared some company with him, and enjoyed him. And he wept at Lazarus' death, and it called forth one of the greatest miracles, as Lazarus was brought back from the dead. But he very much loved Lazarus, and he loved tax collectors, he loved sinners, and he loved the disciples. He loved the three of the disciples in a special way. And so we do have different levels of friendships, different relationships that we have with other people. But I just want to encourage you to go deeper with some of your friendships, to take the risk and see what God might be able to do with that. Now, some of this may seem impossible, especially if you don't know God. And I also want to touch on where true friendships really start. And our friendships with each other can't happen until one other thing is in place. We can have friends and that will work, but there's one missing link that just having friendships with each other on the earth doesn't quite hit on. John, do you have some comments on that? And what is that missing link that really brings together true friendships?
I, like I said, I didn't become a Christian until I was 22, and I understood that God was the God of the universe, that he was the almighty creator, and that he was bigger than me, he was bigger than this universe, and what would he possibly want with my life? And what possible influence could I have on him or he have on me? He was up there in the clouds far away doing his job of running the world, which I, as an arrogant person, I used to think, well, he didn't do too good a job doing that. But that was that. That's what he did, and I did what I did. But the thought that God actually wanted me to be a friend stunned me. And it was through good friends at the university that I went to in Great Britain that I actually became a Christian and began to see the reality of God, that they were close to me, they were real with me, they were true friends, but I could see there was a difference in them. And that they had a relationship with God. And I thought that was quite arrogant, that was quite presumptuous. And perhaps you're watching this at the moment and you think, well, what possible contact could I have with God? What would he want to do with me? What connection can I have with him? And to watch these friends of mine actually relate to God was a stunning thing. And to read in the Bible that Jesus says to his disciples, you're not my servants, you're my friends. You become my friends if you do what I command. And what was the one thing What's the one thing that God wants? Some disciples of Jesus, some Jews, were asking him that earlier on in John's Gospel. What is the one thing that God wants us to do? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in me, to believe in Jesus, that through trusting in Jesus, we can become friends with God. And God has gone to massive lengths to cause us to be a friend with him. The reality is that no friendship can work and exist if one person rebels against the other one, if they put up barriers, if they reject that person. And that's what it's like as human beings. We reject God, we disobey him, we push him away, even though he's given us life and he's given us a wonderful world to live in. We push him away, we ignore him. And God has to do something about that. He doesn't take it lightly because he is God, and the life that he's given us is worth and it beyond anything we can understand. And so we stand guilty before a holy God. So in order to make us a friend, God stepped into the world himself and took all the punishment and all the his own anger at us upon himself. And that was the horror and the wonder of what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was dying to enable us to be friends with God, because he took the punishment for all of our sin to rescue us. And the fruit of that rescue is friendship with God. What can possibly compare with that? To walk around in this world and know moment by moment that you are a friend of God. Mm. And I don't know if I'm treading on Eric's toes, but if you're not a Christian, then I'd like to invite you to enter into a friendship that is beyond any other friendship in the world, because this friend will never betray you. This friend will never reject you. He will never let you down, because he's taken all that betrayal and rejection upon himself, paid for it, dealt with it, removed it, and what he offers to you is an eternal friendship that will go through the grave, and you won't see decay. That's the natural thing that follows death, but God reverses the natural order and brings supernatural power in, and the friendship will go on and on and on forever. What an amazing thing that will be. The moment that we die and we go through into heaven, and the first person that we're going to meet is Jesus, and Jesus is going to look at us and smile and say, "Hi, friend." If it was Great Britain, he'd say, "All right, mate." I don't know how it would work in America, but that's the way it goes in Britain. It's as close as that. It's a deep connection and a friendship with God. And with that at the core of your life, then other friendships will bloom and blossom.
That's just really a good point. Well, even if you're a believer and watching this, just to be reminded that God is your friend. And you are not friendless, even if you feel friendless, because God has taken great steps, as John said, to be our friend. And he calls us his friends, even in the Bible. And Abraham was called a friend of God. So it's not strange for us to even say that we could be friends with the creator of the universe, because we can. And what a joy that can be. And just how that can free us to be friends with others, too. Because once we have that security and that confidence of knowing that God loves us no matter what, we can be a lot better off with our other friends who may love us or be fickle or hate us or whatever else they might do. As long as we have that secure relationship with God, we can put up with a lot more from the people around us. And then it helps us to walk through those relationships. Some of you are married, and you know what it takes to make a committed relationship work for a long period of time. And it's very difficult, because you've probably never been that close to anyone in your entire life. And yet, by God's grace, we can do that, and we can walk through that, and especially if we're both believers, what a great peace that can bring, and how that can draw us together. Because as we're both getting closer to God, you can see how we get closer to each other. So as we continue to grow in our relationships with God, we just pray and continue to get closer to each other. I know that this can be really a hard topic for some of you. I know that you have been through some things with maybe your spouse, or maybe a child, or maybe your best friend that has really been hurtful to you. And we want to pray with you tonight that God would heal some of those hurts and deal with some of those issues, just so that you can be freed from that and continue on and continue to feel like there's a relationship still out there that you can pursue. Maybe it's with a child. Maybe it's with a new spouse. Maybe it's with another friend that God's going to bring back. Maybe it's going to be with that same friend that has been long since you thought the embers were dead and gone out of that relationship. But maybe God will rekindle that. And I don't want to give false hope here, but I want to give you some hope that God is very much interested in our relationships with one another. So I'm just going to play a little more on the piano. And Jennifer's going to come up here. That's John's wife. And when I'm done playing, we're just going to pray for you. And especially if you've never made a commitment to Christ, we want to pray with you about that and just ask God to forgive you of your sins. And it's just a simple thing that you say in your own heart. And then you can become a friend of God. And then we'll pray for your relationships with others as well. So just ask God to continue to speak to you in your own quiet time as I play a little bit, and then join us for a closing prayer. Song's called Draw Me Into Your Presence, I Want to Know You. I'm glad, Jennifer, to have you here too. And I know that God's brought you a best friend in John. And that's just a joy when God can bring together a husband and wife, and they can be best friends as well. I don't know if you have anything else that you'd like to add to all this before we pray. Don't feel you have to, but if anything struck you about the friendship that we can have.
No, I think you too. Summed it all up for you.
That's great. Would you start us off, Jennifer, in just a prayer, just especially for people who just need a friend right now, that God would bring a friend into their life.
Sure.
Thanks.
Dear Lord, we first of all praise you and thank you for the love you have for us. We praise you, Lord, that you are the best example of a friend, and you gave us life through Jesus, and that Jesus is our friend, Lord. He is there, and he provides all our needs, Lord. Mm-hmm. But Lord, we also thank you that you know the needs of everyone who's listening, and you know, Lord, when they need a friend, and you know, Lord, what sort of friend they need. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them, and you would draw close to them, and you would help them in that situation, and you would use this, Lord, to help mm-hmm. them to stay close to you and help them to trust in you and to know you as their best friend, Lord. But we do pray very practically that you would provide a friend for them.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, and that throughout everything that you love us and you care for us and you know what's best for us. Amen.
Yes, Lord. John, would you just lead anyone who needs a prayer for repentance and maybe to make that friendship with God real today. If you could just pray for them as well.
Father, we want to thank you that you have searched us out, Lord, and that you draw us into a friendship with yourself. And we know, Lord, that the first stage to begin that friendship is to be real about the way we failed you and real about the way that we need you to forgive us. So, Lord, we just pray that you would forgive us for our failure, that you'd forgive us for our sin. Lord, for the way that we've rebelled against you and held you away from us. Lord, doing what we know is not right. And Lord, living in ways that don't bring you glory or bring you honor. And we know, Lord, that we owe a debt that we can't pay. But in your love, you have taken that debt and sent your Son to give his life as the ransom payment for it. Jesus, we thank you that you died for us. And Lord, we never go past that need of your death to pay the price. So Lord, I pray that if somebody tonight who's watching needs to pray that to you this evening, Lord, that you would speak to them and enable them to do it. Lord, we pray that we would be genuine in our sorry saying. Lord, that we would be real in our belief, and that you would flood our hearts and our lives with your Holy Spirit, and that we would know that you love us, and that a new friendship has begun right now. Lord, as you put your arm around those who pray that prayer and say, welcome. Welcome, my child. It's good to have you as a friend. Lord, if that's somebody's experience right now, Lord, we pray that you would smile on them and fill them with your Spirit and reassure them that you will never, ever leave them. Never let them down. Because once you have made a friend, then it's not just a friend for life, but a friend for eternal life. And so bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I just want to pray for anyone who's been hurt or betrayed, Lord. Lord, you know what it's been like even in my own life, in our own family's life, Lord. And God, it is difficult in walking through life. And I understand what that's like. And people may think, no, there's no way you can understand what that's like. But God, you understand what it's like. Jesus was betrayed by many other people, just not Judas, but many people turned on him. Many people hurled insults at him. And yet he forgave them. Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to restore a relationship with someone that they've been harboring bitterness towards in their heart, Lord, for maybe years, I just pray that they would find it within themselves and within the power of Christ to forgive that person truly from their heart. And Lord, that they would be willing to make a step back towards some kind of restoration there, Lord. I pray also for them to be willing to take their risk to experience the true joy that you can bring. God, I know many people are searching for true intimacy, and especially here on the internet, God, that they're hoping that a picture, a magazine, or you know, something will bring them closer to someone, but Lord, show them it's a false intimacy, and what they need is a true intimacy with another person as well as with you, God, and let them be willing to take the risk and do that in the real world with real people, Lord, and just to continue to follow, to seek you, Lord. God, I just pray your blessing on everyone that's watching. God, continue to draw them close to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Now, you may have some other questions or issues that you'd like to talk about, and we're here tonight after the live broadcast, and we can talk in the chat room at the ranch. If you'll click on Talk to Someone, and John and Jennifer and I will be there, and we'll be able to talk a little bit more with you, either with the others in the room or just one-on-one. Or if you'd like to write me later in the week and you just need some personal prayer, or maybe you have a struggle that you're going through that you just need to talk to someone to, that confession really is good for the soul, and just talking to someone and getting it out in the open brings it to light and allows the light of Christ really to take over and keep those things that are darkness away from holding power over you. So you can email me as well at pokey@theranch.org, or if you want to find me on ICQ during the week, and we might be able to have a live chat and just talk, and I just really enjoy doing that. There's nothing I'd enjoy more than just to encourage you in your faith, encourage you that God is alive, that God really cares about you, that he loves you, and that he'd do anything for you, and we just need to trust him with that in our lives. Thanks, and thanks to John and Jennifer for coming all the way from across the pond, as I said, long ago, and we're just glad that you're here with us tonight. Thanks again, and I hope you'll join me again for another broadcast live from the ranch.